Good afternoon. This is your host, Michael J. Long, and thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. Well, it's 11:09, so we're still at February the 8th of 2021, and thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. So today I want to talk to you about the outcome of the 2020 elections, and this kind of caught me off guard because, as you know, President Joe Biden, as he now is, overwhelmingly won the popular vote and the Electoral College. Now, that's according to the media, but you also have to understand, for every fact there is a conspiracy for, like there's two sides to every story, but only one portion of it can be truth. And it's kind of hard to pinpoint what the truth of the matter is in terms of whether the election was rigged in favor of Joe Biden or not. And the same could be said when President Trump first got elected. And arguably, the same during the 2016 elections, when President Donald Trump got elected, the argument was that, from the left, was that the Russians rigged our elections to put him in power. And now apparently the Russians or the Venezuelans or insert whatever, or communist Chinese or whatever, rigged our elections to get Joe Biden in. So either way you slice the pudding, and this is according to the right, that according to them, the communist Chinese party or whatever rigged our election process for Joe Biden to get in. Now, I don't know if any of this is true, right? So, you know, but what I do know is Trump did try to challenge the results. There were some of the Republicans did vote against the recertification of the Electoral College for Biden to get the presidency based on that theory and that theory alone. And long and behold, you got people like Alex Jones that has admittedly lied in court about his show, about what he says on his show and all that. So, but even though he may have spoke truth in the past, you know, he mixes it with a certain layer of lies unbeknown to whoever sees it. So it's hard to trust people like that. And it's hard to trust anybody who wishes to regurgitate those theories, especially if they're considered conservatives, or, you know, but it seems like there's always a theory no matter what. But what I do know is this: regardless of whose fault it is, regardless of what happened, if we want to be sincere about it, we don't know whether the Russians were involved in the election of Donald Trump, and likewise, we don't know if the Communist Chinese Party was around or was involved in the electoral rigging or even the election rigging of our elections for Joe Biden to get in. We don't know that. Therefore, we don't know if the election is rigged or not, or if he legitimately won. Now, if you're a big fan of due process, which both the conservatives and the left, the liberals, fail to take into account, the way it works is you're innocent until proven guilty. So, unless we can prove that President Joe Biden has, in fact, worked with the Communist Party, Chinese Party, whether and what his son does has nothing to do with Joe Biden and Joe Biden alone, unless we can prove it, there's really nowhere else for us to go at this point in terms of the rigging or the name calling or whatever. And I didn't support Trump and I didn't support Biden. And I think Biden's a socialist and a communist and, you know, but, you know, in spite of it, you know, I believe that 95 to 90% of what he's going to do in this country is going to make the country worse and much more worse than it already is. With that said, you have to take into account that President Trump is no more different and was no more different than that of his predecessor, former President Barack Obama, and former President Barack Obama was no more different than George W. Bush or Clinton. So, the way I look at it, I don't like any of these guys. I don't like the Republicans. I don't like the Democrats. I didn't like Trump. I didn't like a lot of his policies and a lot of what he did promise he didn't do. All right? But let's examine Obama and Trump first and see where we're at with this. Because 90% of what Obama did, I did not agree with. I didn't like. I thought those policies were well way off. And this is, you know, and let's think about what he did. He pushed for gun control. He got us involved with the UN gun treaty, small arms treaty, whatever. He pushed for the Affordable Health Care Act and got that shoved down our throat. But nonetheless, he worked tirelessly for the whole year of 2009 and 2010, or almost the half a year of 2009. Before it finally passed, and the only reason it passed was because the Democrats kicked out the Republicans who had the majority. The Democrats had the majority at the time, and they kicked out the Republicans because, you know, and it passed through the Senate with just the Democratic votes. They kicked the Republicans out so they could say, oh, they were obstructionists. We kicked them out. They abstained, and these are the vote results, right? And that was the only way Obama got that passed. And then they tried to say it was, the Supreme Court tried to say it was constitutional as a tax, even though it went through the Senate first before the House, and it was supposed to actually go through the House first and then the Senate if it had been, in fact, a tax bill or meant to pass as a tax bill. So, in, you know, the whole thing has collapsed before our very eyes, and they gutted private options, they took over the financial aid department, you know, so, and then there was a ton of regulations from A to Z that was put in place by bureaucrats. There was the bank bailouts, there was the cash for clunkers, there were all these bombings and all these wars, right? So 90% of the policies that were pushed down our throat by Obama and by people like George W. Bush, and let's not forget the fact that Obama also signed into law the NDAA and the Patriot Act, which had Republican support and Democratic support and the support of people like Chris Gibson. So it passed, and numerous times under the Obama administration. So he did a lot of bad things, he did a lot of horrible things, but with that said, he did do some good things. He did try to lift the embargo on Cuba and get rid of Guantanamo Bay, which he later turned his back on and kept in place. But he did try to, at least with Guantanamo Bay anyways, but he did try to, at least as far as I'm aware of, lift the embargo on Cuba, and he tried to soften relations with Cuba and tried to get Congress to lift the embargo on Cuba, which they fought against him on. That was one of the very few things that he did that I agreed with, on top of trying to get rid of Guantanamo Bay, which he later gave up on. So there's like maybe one or three things he did that I liked, or maybe one or two things if that. But other than that, he didn't really do much that I could say, hey, look, this is someone that I support, you know, on most issues, because on most issues I didn't support him on. He pushed for gun control. I don't agree with that, you know. That's a bunch of people, because people have the right to defend themselves against other people wishing to impose danger, force, or fraud upon them, or in imminent danger. They have a right to defend their loved ones, their family, and whatever. But now, Trump, you know, yeah, I agree with him on getting rid of getting us out of the UN gun control treaty thing that Obama got us into, but he should have probably gotten Congress to do that and then signed it into law or had Senate ratify it or whatever, instead of just pulling us out via executive order. But the principle behind getting us out of that, I kind of liked. But 90% of what Trump did, I didn't like. And I think he, even though he got it most regulatory regulations, he still kept in place the FBI, the CIA, and all these federal government agencies we don't need. He still killed Soleimani and bombed the Middle East to Kingdom Come and stiffened, further restricted relations between us and the Cubans and increased the tension and placed upon embargo after embargo on Venezuela, and so forth. So on foreign policy, Trump has been disastrous. I didn't like the way he treated the immigrants, but I didn't like the way the Democrats have been using it as a wedge issue or treating them either. Nothing's changed with Trump. 90% of what Trump did was expand the deficit, increase spending, increase taxes, and he increased regulations in other areas. The pipeline, that should have been handled by the free market, and it should have been up to them and the Native American Indians and the people living in the vicinity of that area to work out where the pipe was going to go and how to compromise and all that. And the government never should have gotten involved with that. With that said, I don't think it was appropriate for Biden to get involved in it, nor did I think it was appropriate for Obama or Trump to get involved in it. And, nothing changes. All we do is we flip the script. And one minute we have a Republican president, and then when we don't like their personality or don't like 90% of what they do, we then turn around and vote for a Democrat that we're not going to agree with any damn way on 90% of the issues. So we're so heavily divided, and we're coming up with theories. Look, I think from the bottom of my heart that Biden was legitimately elected. But do I agree with his policies? No, I don't. I don't agree with his gun control. I don't agree with his, proposed socialism and minimum wage hikes. If anything, I think we should get rid of the minimum wage. I think we should get rid of all these federal government agencies that we don't need. I think we should try to cut back on the government, the taxes, the regulations, and all that, and be more for the people in terms of supporting their civil liberties, their rights, and that also includes their gun rights. And leaving it up to the free market to decide for themselves who they want to hire. Leaving it up to the people to decide for themselves, for all of us, who we decide to do business with, how we choose to spend our money, what we choose to put in our own bodies, how we choose to raise our kids. And I don't see any one of these guys that we have had as president wanting to get rid of the drug war. And if you look at, yet alone any of the vice presidents that we've had in support of getting rid of the drug war, whether it be Kamala Harris or Tom Pence or whatever his name was, Trump or Biden or Obama, whatever. It seems like throughout every single administration that we've had, we've never really seen, the formation or the drug legalization and or decriminalization come to fruition. We've never really seen gun rights in its fullest, as a means of supporting gun rights or supporting drug legalization or decriminalization with the legalization of marijuana or any of that sort of stuff. And so 90% of these people's policies, and I don't care who you support or within the two major parties, it's more about bigger and bigger government and more of your money being spent on high taxes and high regulations and redistribution of wealth and socialism for everybody who can't afford it and everybody and anybody. Let's spend taxpayers' money on making all these hospitals instead of having these hospitals and private insurance cover the people that they should cover and work these things out for themselves. And I'm not saying get rid of the I'm not saying get rid of Medicare or Medicaid or Social Security, but a lot of all these other government agencies probably should be gutted or getting rid of. And what I mean by that is there's no real need to have the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the USDA, the FCC, or any of all these other government agencies. There's no sense in having the Department of Energy, Education, and Labor. And if we're going to have Department of Labor, the Department of Labor should only exist at the state level, and unemployment should only exist at the state level, and the Social Security and the Medicaid and Medicare and CHIPS should be managed partially by a private entity, or should be partially privately managed, but also should be, reduced in the number of recipients who receive them, because they really should be going towards people with disabilities and people that are both physical and or psychological or mental illnesses or whatever, or people that can't go to work or they got laid off temporarily, then you get unemployment or something like that, then you can get back on your feet and go to work or something like that. And I'd like to see more private options with, let's privatize the National Weather Service. Let's get rid of the, park rangers. Let's get rid of all these federal parks. And let it be privately owned. I don't see a problem with that. Let's have a real libertarian agenda. The problem is, it's almost close to impossible if we're going to keep electing Democrats and Republicans, because they don't, especially as president. And the presidency of the United States has, in fact, become the most powerful position, and ultimately because we've allowed it to become as such. We've put in these people that have, over time, expanded the size of the federal government. Now, this didn't happen overnight. This happened within a period of time. Like 200 years we've had Democrats and Republicans elected to the presidency and the vice presidency, and they were able to get the Supreme Court justices nominated and appointed. And the outcome of that, as such, was slavery for the South, the Civil War, and now we have even more and more bigger government. And it seems like over the years we have continued to progress towards a bigger authoritarian state. And it ain't going to end well with us if we continue going down that road. Now, I don't want to sound like an alarmist, and the good news is we have, in fact, gotten most libertarians elected at the local level and at the state level, and in some states, local level, in many states throughout the country, the county level, local, state, county level. And we're working on getting libertarians elected in the state legislators throughout the country. Now, if we can do that, and we can agree with the fact that we can have libertarians in Congress, like Justin Amash, who started out as a Republican before leaving the Republican Party, temporarily becoming an independent before joining up with the Libertarian Party before his term was even up. These are things that we should, we should look at communicating with each other and discussing these ideas. And as you know, my views are my views alone. But I ultimately think that, these issues we need to have a discussion on. And we need to have a discussion on who owns our bodies and who owns our rights, whether it's us or the government. This is something we should be talking about. It's not just going to happen because we're going to get libertarians elected in the federal government. Although that I'd love to see. I'd love to see libertarians dominate in the House and the Senate and Congress. I'd love to see a libertarian president and vice president in a libertarian administration that's able to appoint Supreme Court justices and federal judges and the like, but also able to influence Congress in such a way where we can downsize the federal government and be more about protecting people's civil liberties and rights. But I think we're I think the power base should mostly be at the local level, and this is why you have state constitutions throughout the country and the states thereof. Aside from the U.S. Constitution and the city charters for the local governments, and so, you know, and so I think, you know, getting Biden elected was a mistake, and I don't like Biden, but Biden or 90% of his policies, and I also didn't like Trump for 90% of his policies, and the like, and in the same sense, I didn't like Trump and 90% of his policies, you know, and you have to figure, and you figure this, right, none of them have achieved reducing the size of the government, but out of any of these parties, right, the Democrats are at least honest when they tell you, yeah, we're for bigger government, and yeah, we want gun control, and yeah, we want this, that, and the third, and who's going to stop us, and, you know, they are in your face telling you they support big government, and that they want big government involved in everyone's lives, and all that. They even go, many of the crowd and their audiences within the Democratic Party even go as far as shutting up free speech or even rioting. So they're no more different than some of the antagonists that we've seen on the right with the Capitol riots and stuff. In fact, they're just as detrimental, many of these crowds are. And this is an example in both cases of cancel culture. I mean, not cancel culture, but cancel culture, whatever you want to call it. So, but this is something we all should be having a discussion about in the livelihoods of every single American household and or family. And I'm not saying it has to happen like right now, but this is something that should be looked at and addressed accordingly. Should we be involved in the policing of the world by using our military to bomb Yemen, which we have sanctions on, and tariffs with several other countries? I mean, should we be bombing any country, whether it be Yemen or Syria or any particular target in any country we have no jurisdiction over outside of our own? And to be honest with you, we don't. If you look at what we're doing, not only are we violating our own U.S. Constitution, and what we're doing is also a violation of international law. Especially if we're not going with a U.N. declaration or a U.N. resolution, you know, or some type of international condolences, you know, what we're doing just by, you know, and I'm not even sure it's legal for half of Europe to be involved in any of these conflicts if we're going to espouse legal rights of the international community. I think countries should be left alone. And I think we can set the example and lead in that, in leaving other countries alone. Now, if Europe doesn't want to comply with that, well, then that's on Europe. And that's their headache, not ours. But as a country, I don't feel we as Americans have the right, or nor should we be involved in the affairs of other countries militarily. Now, I'm not saying not to trade with them, but I don't think we should be bombing them, putting sanctions on them, putting tariffs on them, putting embargoes on them, because we're not affecting their leadership in any way, even if we're talking about North Korea or China. In fact, what we're doing is hurting the people in those countries that are the poorest, and that are the ones being oppressed by their governments. And those are the people we're doing the most harm to when we have those type of policies. It actually also enables the dictators in those countries to say, look at what America's doing. They're depriving you of food, medicine, water. These are basic human rights that we're depriving the poorest of people in these countries of, because we want to have a bone to pick with Kim Jong-un or whatever. And it's, quite frankly, it's not right. And I would hope that be addressed or discussed. So anyways, signing out. This is the infinite famous Michael J. Long. This is Michael J. Long. And I thank you for joining me. I truly do appreciate it. Thank you.